The reading today is from Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, what a week it's been. I don't know what best describes your state of mind this week. Swimming or staggering or scrambled, or as with me, just shot. It's been a really strange week, hasn't it? And not just the mind, of course, kind of on the inside as well. Perhaps feeling nervous or anxious, uncertain and certainly disorientating. And others around us are probably worse, feeling that they've completely lost their moorings in life. And what I want to do this morning is look at Psalm 93, which gives us two great moorings that hold us, two convictions, if you like, that hold us in the best place to be when we're being buffeted by circumstances around us. The first one comes in verse 1, that the Lord is reigning. The Lord is reigning. One of the things that comes home to us at a time like this is that we are not in control of our circumstances. And why did we ever think that we are? It becomes manifestly obvious, doesn't it? That we're not in control. We're not in control of our lives. We're not in control of our health. We're not in control of our future. We're not in control of our jobs. And maybe one good thing that comes out of a situation like the current time is that it reminds us that we're not in control. And that should actually be a cause for thanksgiving to God, that if you find yourself completely disorientated at the moment, it's actually a reason to thank God, for showing us, for reminding us this really important truth that we are not in control as perhaps we assume that we were. But just because we're not in control doesn't mean that this world is out of control. For what we see in Psalm 93 is that the world itself is very much still under the control of the one who reigns over it. The Lord is reigning. Verse 1, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. You may have heard the old illustration before about what happens if you imagine you're walking on a beach one day and you see a fin in the water and there are people playing there, and you realise there's a shark circling around, and you don't know what to do. You don't know whether to call 111. You don't know whether to dive in and help. You don't know whether to shout to the people to get out of the water. And as you're frozen with panic, suddenly you hear this word being shouted out behind you, cut! And you look around and there's a film director seated on his chair, puffing away in a big cigar. And you relax and you realise it is just a film set that you've wandered onto. Well, what we see in Psalm 93 is that there is a throne in heaven and it is an occupied throne. This world is not spinning out of control. It is fully in control, or under the control of the one who is in control, the Lord himself. And whenever we come across that word, the Lord, in capital letters in the Old Testament, it reminds us that he is the ever faithful God. That's the personal name of God, Yahweh, refers to the fact that he's always faithful to his people. He never forgets them. This is the God who, when the Israelites were in slavery in the Old Testament, he heard their cries. This is the God who, whenever they found themselves in difficulties, he would hear them. And this is the God that if you cry to him today, he will hear you. He never, ever takes his eyes off his people. The Lord is reigning. There is a throne that is occupied. And who better to have reigning than the Lord God himself? This should give us great comfort. This should give us great certainty. This should give us great security at the current time. And the Bible fleshes out what it means for God to be in control. Elsewhere in the Bible, it pictures God just as an image of him having masses of eyes to show that he sees everything on earth. He sees us. In fact, he sees you this morning. And because he sees perfectly, he understands perfectly. He understands us. He understands what we're going through. He understands you. He understands the particular circumstances in which you are today. In fact, he understands you and me better than we understand ourselves. Truly, he really does see us, he knows us, and he understands us. And I hope that brings you comfort as well. In fact, that also contains the answer to the old question about the problem of evil. You know, when people say, well, if God is so powerful, he's able to stop bad things, and if he's so good, he would want to, then why doesn't he? But actually, it's not a two-pronged way of looking at it. It's three-pronged. It's a three-legged stool. It's not just that God is powerful. It's not just that God is good. It's also that God is all-knowing. He knows what is best. And that's why he allows bad things in this world. He allows bad things because he knows what is best. He can see everything, whereas we only ever get a partial view of life in this world. Ours is a very truncated view. It's just a slim, it's a narrow snapshot of life in this world. God sees everything. He sees the end from the beginning. And I have absolutely no doubt that God will use the circumstances of the coronavirus to bring about much good in the world. In fact, we should trust him at this point. We should trust him that as the Lord who reigns, he is able to use this for more good than we could ever ask or even imagine. Just think what God might do in the current circumstances. Think how many people might turn to him and trust in the Lord Jesus for the first time. Think of how the gospel might spread across nations and cultures which are affected by this awful disease in a way that hasn't happened over many decades. We just don't know what God is doing. But there is an old saying that sometimes always it's more important to trust God than it is to understand God. We don't understand everything. We don't understand the mind of God, but nor do we need to. What we need to do is to trust God in the current circumstances now as always. The Lord is reigning. He reigns in power. That's brought out so clearly, isn't it? He's robed in majesty. We can imagine God sitting there in glorious robes. Of course, it was the soldiers at the cross of Jesus who mocked him for declaring that he was a king by putting robes on him. But in reality, the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ, he really is robed. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We read that he is armed with strength, armed with strength. And that should give us great security at the moment. The coronavirus, it may seem to be marauding its way across the world, and its unwanted tentacles may seem to be reaching into all parts where we don't want them to go. But in truth, it is the Lord who remains all-powerful. It is he who allows things to happen. Everything is under his control. The Lord is powerful. And not only is the Lord powerful, but the Lord reigns forever. You see that in verse 1. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. The psalmist turns and looks around at the world around, and he sees in the world a reflection of the Creator. Just as in verse 2, we see that his throne was established long ago. He is from all eternity. So in verse 1, we see that the world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. And so as the psalmist looks around at the world, he sees an image of God almost. He sees a reflection of God, that this world was placed here by God all those years ago, and this world will not be moved. It reminds us that God himself will not be moved. And a practical bit of application at the moment is that as we step outside each day during the current period of lockdown and look up at the sky and see the clouds and look around and see the trees and look down and see the earth, we're reminded that the coronavirus came and is here for a time, and that will go again. But this world carries on. And it carries on because the one who is behind it carries on reigning. A pale reflection of that might be the long reign of our monarch, Queen Elizabeth II. Since Queen Elizabeth came to the throne, we've had 15 British prime ministers and I think 18 New Zealand prime ministers. And she has seen them through one by one. And that kind of longevity brings a security, it brings a calm that she has seen life decade after decade after decade. I don't know if you saw her words this last week, but even they bring reassurance because she's lived through so many events. Well, you might say that's an analogy or an illustration of the greater security and calm and comfort we should get from seeing that the Lord reigns forever. His reign is powerful. He reigns forever. And because he's powerful and reigning forever, that means that when we pray to him, we can be sure he is powerful to answer. And when we trust him, we can be sure that he knows what is best. I hope this week ahead you're able to do both of those things, to pray to him with confidence that he will answer and to trust him with equal confidence, knowing that he is best. Here is the first mooring that should keep us tied down in the best place, being with the Lord at a time when we're being buffeted. And then the second mooring, the Lord is reigning, and secondly, the Lord is speaking. Have a look at verse 3. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Here the psalmist introduces us to this great challenge to the Lord's authority. We've seen already that the Lord is he's reigning over all. And yet here we see that the seas lifting up their voices, as if they're challenging the Lord on his throne. The sea here stands for chaos. It stands for all unruly elements across this world, all those aspects to this world that should not be, and that represent a challenge to the authority and the reign of the Lord God himself. God created this world perfect. It truly was an absolutely pristine and perfect world in the Garden of Eden. But since the introduction of sin into the world, this world has been creaking. Sometimes it's impersonal elements that represent a challenge to the goodness and the authority of God. A virus, as in the current time, or natural disasters. And sometimes it's more personal elements. Every time that people sin across the world and perhaps inflict pain on others or injustice on others, it's an affront to the challenge to the rule and reign of God himself. In fact, you and I, when we are rebellious to God and when we don't trust him and when we disobey him, we actually do the same. We join forces with the sea at this point. We lift our necks against God. And if you're watching this morning and you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, you need to know that this is a problem, that all of us across the world find ourselves in the same place at this point, that naturally we are rebels in God's world. And that was why he sent his son into the world, to bring reconciliation between us, between him and us. Now in Psalm 93, we read that the seas have lifted up their pounding waves. And yet we see that although the Lord's authority is challenged, the Lord's authority remains. Have a look at verse 4. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. These unruly forces more than meet their match as they come face to face with the living, reigning Lord God. And you see how he exercises his rule? It's through his words. We read in verse 5, your statutes stand firm. His statutes mean his words. For the Lord has spoken, and what the Lord spoke back then, he speaks today. Here is the power of his word. The Lord Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. It is the word of God that is our mooring at this time. For the Lord is speaking to us through his word. His word reminds us that he is powerful. His word reminds us that he is in control. His word reminds us that one day every unruly force will stand before the judgment throne of God. His word reminds us that in the new creation there will be no pain and no suffering and no tears. It will be restored, and those who are there under the rule of Christ will be perfectly transformed themselves. Now you get an idea of the power of this word when you think about the Lord Jesus and his life on earth. You remember the time when he was on the boat asleep, and the disciples were on the boat as well, and they were facing that outrageous storm that was threatening to drown them. And in their distress and in their desperation, they turn to the person in the boat who is asleep. And although Jesus is a carpenter, they roll the dice and they come to him and they beg him to do something. And they say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" It's a very interesting question. Don't you care? We might say the same to the Lord himself today. Don't you care that we're in this situation? Don't you care that I feel this way? Does Jesus care? You can tell that he does. For he gets up, he goes onto the deck, and he speaks to the wind and the waves. And literally he says, "Be muzzled." And straight away there is a calm. The calm appears and the sea is as flat as a mill pond. These outrageous waves which were threatening to bury the boat are absolutely flattened through one word spoken by the Lord himself. The Creator had stepped onto his creation, and in speaking he calmed it with a word. It is the word of God that brings calm in the midst of chaos. And I hope in this week ahead you will open the word of God so that you may know this calm in your own life. It's the word of God which is a mooring at a time when we need it most. It's the word of God which is the voice we need to listen to. If you listen most of all to social media, if you listen to the voices around us, not that you can hear so many of those now, if you listen to the TV, if you listen only to the government, which is doing such a great job, you'll only get these perspectives out here. But if we open the Bible and listen to the Lord himself, we'll get God's perspective, and we'll begin to see the world through his eyes. He will give us the mind of Christ and will enable us to recalibrate so that we are calm in the period of chaos. I hope this week ahead that you will find that calm as you look at the Word of God, as you study it for yourself. Maybe if you've stopped doing that recently, now would be the time to restart. Maybe if you've never done that as a family, can I really recommend that you do it in the week ahead? With the homeschooling program that some of us are beginning to are struggling with a little bit, speak for myself, now is the opportunity to build in a little Bible time to be able to teach our kids what they need to know from the scriptures so that they may have calm in the midst of chaos as they hear the word of the Lord. And what kind of Lord is this God who is speaking? We read in verse 5, "Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord." It's a beautiful picture that the character of God remains unchanged in his kindness, in his compassion, in his gentleness, in his faithfulness, in his love for his people. Your holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. So here are the two moorings that we need. I hope you can remember them in this week ahead. The Lord is reigning, so we can trust him. And the Lord is speaking, so we can listen to him and find calm in the midst of chaos.